Hello and welcome back. We begin now the shiur on the third section of the Shari Tshuva of the Gates of Repentance that begins the 10 levels of stringency of the mitzvot, meaning of those that are the 10 levels of stringency connected to the various mitzvot. So the first level is Chomer Divrei Sofrim. This is the level regarding the stringency of the mitzvot from the words of the Sofrim, meaning from the Chachamim, from the rabbis, meaning the rabbinically ordained rules. And when we talk about stringencies, we're talking about in terms of their punishment. And as we've stated in the introduction to the third shar, the idea being that the levels of stringency and our understanding their levels of stringency, this will give us insight into how to develop within us yirah, how to develop within us awe of heaven, and how to develop within us an appreciation of the mitzvot, and therefore the necessary tools to assist us to set up the safe keep that we need in order to prevent ourselves from violating any of the words of the Torah. So this first level of stringency is that of the rabbinical laws. Nitchayavnu min haTorah lekabel takanot hanevi'im vashoftim lishmoa divrei chachamim v'lizehar b'gidreihem. Now understand, even though we talk about the level of mitzvot, the level of commandments of the rabbis, meaning we're talking about rabbinical laws, it's important to understand that it's the Torah itself which has obligated us to accept the various takanot, the various established rules that were made by the Nevi'im and the Shoftim and the various great Bati Dinim, the great courts that followed, lishmoa divrei chachamim, that we must listen to the various safekeepings that they have placed around the mitzvot to protect us from violation. Shneimar lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol, as it says in the Torah that you shall not deviate from the words that they shall tell you, not to the right and not to the left. V'gam ki huzreinu min haTorah lakayim aleinu liyot osim kechol asher yiru. And so the Torah has warned us not only to be careful in terms of what they have warned us about, but also that we should do all that which they direct us to do. Achen, mitzvat aseh min haTorah hamura midivrehem. It is for that reason that the mitzvot aseh, the positive commandments that are from the Torah, are more stringent than the words of the Chachamim. Bibneshu huskar ikar adavar b'sefer Torah ha'elokim b'forash v'tziva Hashem yibarat. Meaning that the fundamental difference between the fundamental difference that exists between the mitzvot aseh, the positive commandments of the Torah, and this commandment, meaning to listen to the rabbis, is only something very simple. Meaning that in the case of the mitzvot of the rabbis, the details of the mitzvot are not actually in the Torah itself. Meaning that it was left in the hands of the rabbanim to actually specify what it was that we need to be careful of or what we need to do. But in the case of all other mitzvot, say all other positive commandments, the details themselves are actually found written in the Torah itself. And that is the only reason why a mitzvot, say a positive commandment, is considered to be more stringent than the listening to the Chachamim, listening to the rabbis and their rules. V'yesh derachim utzdadim yimatzun sham divrei sofrim chamurim divrei Torah. But it's not only that the difference is small, there are actually times and ways in which the words of the Chachamim, the words of the rabbis, are actually stricter than the words of the Torah itself. Kasher amru rabbeinu zichron lecha, as the rabbis of blessed memory have told us, chomer bedivrei sofrim bedivrei Torah, that the words of the Chachamim, the words of the rabbis, are stricter than the words of the Torah. Sha'omer en tefillin la'avor al divrei Torah patur. Chamesh totafot lo'osif al divrei sofrim hayav. That it says that if a person, meaning a rebellious elder, a zaken mamre, was to come out and he was to say, nah, there's no tefillin, meaning that there's no need to fulfill this positive commandment, then he would be patur from bringing a korban. But if someone was to come out and say that they need to put five sets of tzitzit on your talit, then he will be violating the words of the Chachamim, and yet nevertheless he would be hayav to bring a korban, meaning this Zaken Mamre, this leader, would bring upon himself the necessity to bring a korban, the necessity to bring a sacrifice. V'chol ha'over al divrei Chachamim chayav mita. A very famous statement brought in Gemara Brachot, that anybody that violates the words of the rabbis receives a death penalty. Va'ata alo lecha ladat. Now, we find, practically speaking, that if a person was to violate on the positive commandments, that we do not see that the actual one-for-one punishment from the courts is that, in fact, he would receive the death penalty. So what's meant by this statement? So Rabbeinu Yehuda tells us, now you should understand, why is it that a person would receive the death penalty as a result of violating the words of the Chachamim, of violating the words of the rabbis? Yoter min ha'over al mitzvah taseh, v'al mitzvah lo taseh. More so for having violated a positive or negative commandment. V'zeh pashe ha'davar. So now, he's going to explain us the reason. Ki ha'over al divrei Chachamim asher melo'o libo la'asot ken, and the reason is a matter of psychology. That a person who is going to violate on the words of the Chachamim, that he does not fill his heart with their stringencies, not to perform according to their words, that he has made light the mitzvot as specified by the Chachamim, by the rabbis, what will end up happening is that he will not have the ability to rise up against his desires. Meaning, by allowing himself to succumb to his yetzer, to his desires here and now, in the first front of battle, meaning in the battle against the Yetzer, in connection with the various restrictions that the Rabbanim have placed upon us, by not taking to the battle, by not taking that early battle front, he has essentially signed his death warrant, because of the fact that he will no longer be able to protect himself from the onslaught of the Yetzer Hara that has now already passed through his first defenses. It's very easy for a person to avoid getting involved in a sin if he never opens his eyes to it and never places himself in harm's way. But once the desire has already begun to grow, and a person has allowed it to fester, it's almost impossible to stop. And every moment becomes a snowballing effect that will further drive the person down into sin. Person for example, he goes into the Bet Knesset, he goes into the shul, and his entire focus is to go and to serve his Creator. He sits down in the congregation, he does his prayers, he focuses. When he's done with, he picks up and he leaves. Wonderful, tremendous mitzvot were accomplished. But if a person was to sit over by the mechitza, was to sit over by the dividing dividers that are placed in the Bet Knesset between the men and women section, and he spends his time trying to converse over this line, the next thing you know, his focus is completely lost. He finds himself breaking the mechitza, so to speak, meaning that he's found himself now all of a sudden involved with everything else that's going on that's unimportant. And not only that, now having allowed the enticement of the Yetzer Hara in, by having violated the words of the Chachamim, he finds that thoughts already begin to come to his mind of an improper nature, which in itself is already sin. And of course, one thing can lead to another, as his having violated and broken the borders established by the Chachamim from the beginning have allowed things to slide by. Once the Yetzirah has heated the human, even cold showers are not going to help. Aval tichyena enav merot or divrehem v'lo yehalech lenoga emuna v'lo mashach ba'ol gazaratam v'lo yitrach lekaim amram ki lo nichta b'sefer Torah. But because of this person, by not taking control of himself, by not going into the spark of faith, by not placing upon his shoulders the yoke of their decrees, by not making an effort to fulfill that which they have said, saying, "Oh, this is not from the words of the Torah. This is just the rabbis talking." V'lo nahag k'derech ha'over al divrei Torah asher nasho mara lo v'nakot b'fanav yirav yitzelo ki yesenu yitzro lachto. What will end up being his end is that he has already accustomed himself to be a sinner. And it's this phase of his existence in a mode of sin that will snowball him away. Aken mishpat mavet yelaish, therefore it's understood why then death would be for such a person. Ki pil davar echad mikol divrehem atovim, because he has now thrown down one aspect of the good of their words. Vinehu ka'omer nenataka et mosrotemo v'domen lama shekatuv b'inyan zaken ha'mamre et pi ha'chachamim v'aish eshe yaseh b'zadon livil tishmo el ha'kohen. And this is like the idea of the rebellious elder, the man that will do on purpose and not listen to the Kohen, whose punishment is most severe. Hashini, the second reason why you would have the death penalty associated with going against the words of the Chachamim, ka'ishahu rachok min ha'tshuva, because such a person now is going to be at great distance from the entire concept of repentance. Achrei asher ein hadavar hamor alav ki yishne b'ivalto tamid, since now he is constantly finding himself in this mindset and not realizing the gravity of what he's doing wrong. V'achet hakal onsho yoter min ahamor miki hashel bo achote pamayim rabot. What ends up happening then, of course, is he becomes a habitual sinner. Each sin, of course, then, compounding on the next, each violation of the words of the Hamim one after another, until their combined force of punishment is death. Furthermore, it says regarding the words of the Chachamim, it says that the words of the Chachamim, these are more precious than the wine of the Torah. V'anachnu srichim lefaresh gam etzeh. We also have to explain this. Yedotida, understand. Ki yirat Hashem yisod ha-mitzvot. The fundamental basis of all of the mitzvot is the awe of heaven. Shneemar, as it says, V'ata Yisrael ma Hashem lokecha shoal mimach. Now, Jews, what is it that God asks from you? It says in Sefer Devarim, Kim yira ed Hashem lokecha. Only that you should fear God. Meaning all the mitzvot are equated with the concept of awe. What is this idea? The concept of awe that is being referred to here, overwhelming sense of the presence of God, a presence in the universe, a perception of God and His hanhaga and His influence here in the world and His connection to the world. That is what all the mitzvot are. They are God's will. God desires, the Ramchal tells us, Derech Hashem, to bestow good upon us. And therefore, in order so that we should merit to receive such good, and therefore that the good should be given in the most perfect fashion, He gives us the mitzvot, He gives us the commandments, that we should merit to be able to accept that great good that God wishes to bestow up. It's the bestowing of this good. It is the filling of this world with the presence of God that brings the Mashiach, that brings the revelation of God on earth, that brings the presence of God into the here and now. Our mission. Uvezeh yirtzeh Hashem et bru'av. And it's with this aspect, meaning it is with yirah, it is with the awe, it is with the drawing of the presence of God into the temporal space that is around us through our fulfilling of the mitzvot, and therefore revealing God's presence in the universe, that it is with that we are desired by God. Kamosh ne'emar, rotzeh Hashem et yirah, God desires those that fear Him. V'takanot hachamim v'gidrehem yisod l'derech yirah. It is the established rules and protections that have been set up by the hachamim, that they are the fundamental path to yirah. The fundamental path. Developing awe. Ki asu gader v'arhaka pentiga. Yad Adam bi Isur Torah, because they are the ones that establish a fence, that establish a buffer zone, lest the person should come to actually violate, heaven forbid, the Torah itself. Kabbalah Sadeh Asher Yaseh Gader L'Sadeh Me'Asher Yakar Be'Enav, in the manner of an orchard owner who places around his fields gates fences, to protect his fields that are precious to him and that which is within those fields. Ki yare pen yikansu bo bnei adam v'yal mishlach shor u'mimase, because he's concerned, be it from theft or be it by destruction. Kinyan shenema u'shmartem et mishmarti, you shall guard, you shall watch what I have said to watch. Meaning, asu mishmeret l'mishmarti, you shall make a watch for that which I've said to you to watch over. Vorov hazirut v'hagadeh v'hachaka min ha'isor alo ze meikre amora. And is it not the abundance of warning, of fences, of buffer zones from the Isur, from that which is forbidden? Is this not the main aspect of Yira, of awe? In two ways, just as a person is afraid to enter into the lion's den with a lion present inside, so therefore he doesn't even enter close, lest he should stir the lion and cause his imminent death. A lower level of fear, or be it awe, be it the hesitation that one has before entering into the palace of the king, that how could such a lowly being enter before something so great? Without preparations, is it possible even to consider meeting with great dignitaries? So it's the preparation, the buffer zones and the protections, that they're the fundamentals of revealing in action our awe and fear of heaven. And it's the increasing of being careful that brings a person to the great rewards. It's often said that knowing how to properly behave in a business situation, in negotiations, among men, that this, meaning the carefulness that one has, not to trample, not to push, that this is the trait that brings a person the greatest success. Ben Yonah, in the last parak on this concept, meaning on this first level of the stringency of the mitzvot, he gives us a few rabbinical laws that people already in his days seem to have become lax upon. Mizalzalim benetilat yadayim. He talks about the idea of people that are not particular about washing their hands before eating. Oh, just a rabbinical law. But it's in the stringency that a person has upon himself to be careful, to always eat with hands that have been sanctified, that demonstrate a person's awe and a person's true ambition to connect with and follow after God. He mentions even that by seeing how a person behaves in terms of his being careful regarding Nitil Yadayim, as to be a sign by which a person can identify someone who lacks Yirat Shamayim, who lacks the awe of heaven. That from this small sign, by a person being mezalzel here, by not being careful here, is assured that in all things he's not careful. Migvina shel ovdei avodah zarah, from eating the cheese that is made by non-Jews. Many people fail to understand that it's not just a question of milk which is kosher or not kosher, Chalav Yisrael, non-Chalav Yisrael. Cheese itself contains enzymes. These enzymes come from the stomachs, traditionally, of animals. Only an animal which is kosher can have the enzymes taken out from its stomach and used for the processing of cheese. It's not a matter of milk and meat, because it no longer has the status of meat because of the fact that of its chemical nature and its lack of taste, but it is kosher substance which is being used in order to make cheese. That concept does not apply to something which is not kosher. The use of the enzymes taken from an animal which is not kosher maintains its not kosher status. Even though it has no taste, it has the substance of that which is forbidden. Bishulei ovdei avodah zarah, the Chachamim placed upon us rules that we should protect ourselves from coming to be too familiar with people that we cannot marry. It's too little too late if all of a sudden somebody wants to marry a non-Jew. That means to say that they've gotten to that point. The rabbis set up stringencies way before this, that even regarding food preparation, that it's forbidden to eat food which has been cooked by a non-Jew, unless a Jew has been involved in the process, in order so that it shouldn't be, as all know, the quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. But yet, if the food cannot be completely attributed to any one person, it loses its flair. All these rules have tremendous seichel, tremendous sense behind them, and why they're being made and established, in order to protect us. A person who violates the words of the Chachamim is, though, due for punishment. Onsho biyad beit din lakoto makot mardutz. It is the beit din which can make the determination that if a person brazenly violated the commandments that were established by previous beit din, or their beit din themselves, and that has been established and accepted by the Jewish people as law, that someone who violates this, the beit din has full authority to give him rabbinical lashes. These are not the prescribed lashes that are given for violating a negative commandment. And because of that, then it is up to the beit din to determine how many lashes they determine to give. It's at their whim. Whether it be 40 or even to increase upon them, that discretion is in their hands. We get now the second level of stringency. Chomer mitzvot aseh. That is the stringency regarding positive commandments. Yisod aschar veshorash hagmul. The positive commandments are the basis by which we receive reward. It is the source by which merit comes upon a person. Ulam, V'imatzeh derech b'schar anizhar ma'avodah ma'avor al mitzvah lo taseh. Now, it's true that positive commandments are the basis and the fundamental manner by which we gain reward. It is possible also, though, by way of negative commandments, to also at times be able to be zocha, be able to merit reward in a similar fashion. And therefore he can reach a level of receiving reward like he did a positive commandment. For example, a person encounters a situation where sin is before him and he desires this sin, he desires to perform that which has been forbidden to him, and he conquers his desires. As we can see that this is from the fundamental of awe of heaven. It is an expression of his true and utter awe, meaning an expression of his perception of God having shlita, having dominance over the entire world, including himself, and him not being something which is not subject to the living God. His having expressed this through his pulling away from that which he desired by nullifying his desires in order to not violate the words of God, he has performed a positive action that will warrant him reward in the same fashion as a positive commandment. The rabbis have said, be careful about the light mitzvot like the strict. For a person does not know the reward that is due for every commandment. V'hine, b'Torah foresh ma yaseh l'kol ha'over ha'mitzvah lo taseh. Now it does state in the Torah itself what is the punishments for someone who violates a negative commandment. ויחלק עליהם עונשים ומשפטים ודעת מה לעשות בהם. והעונשים, and it does state clearly what is the rulings regarding all of them and those punishments. מלכות ארבעים, 40 lashes, מיתה וחרב בידי שמיים, be it death or being spiritually cut off by the hands of heaven. וארבעה מיתות בדין, the four manners of death. All these things are specified in the Torah itself. But regarding the positive element, the reward that we be due, it is completely absent. Or nearly completely absent. Umatan schar al kol mitzvah lo niparesh b'Torah. The reward of all of the mitzvot is not specified in detail in the Torah. כדי שלא יחדלו לקיים המצוות הקלות ויתעסקו בחמורות לבדנה. In order that a person should then not think to himself that he'll just try and reap the greatest advantage for himself and only spend his time on those mitzvot which will give him the greatest bang for the buck. משלו על זה מעניין המלך אשר אמר לבדיו לנטוע בפרסו כל עץ נחמד ושכר אמר לתת להם. Rabbi Yonah tells us a mashal, he tells us a parable that illustrates this. It's like a king that says to his servants, I'd like you to plant my orchard with every type of wonderful tree and I will reward you accordingly so. He does not tell them, though, nevertheless, how much is he going to pay for each tree that will be installed. So he wants that nothing should be left out from his orchard. So what happens then is that many varieties will be planted in his orchard. Now, if they knew what would be the reward for each of the trees that would be planted in that orchard, they would spend all their time just planting the trees that they knew would reap the greatest benefits for them. Ken inyan hamitzvot ki hoi l'Hashem l'zakot et Yisrael b'kiyum kol hamitzvot l'hanchilam chay olam v'liyot kol hamitzvot yachtav liviat chen l'rosham. And so it is with the mitzvot. The Hashem wanted the Jewish people to merit fulfilling all of them. That they should inherit the world to come, and they should have amongst them their mitzvot and the grace that each and every one of them surrounding their heads, each one of them being something. That gives a beauty to that person, each one in its own fine and special character. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us something very interesting. Halo yedata ki amru rabbeinu zimelcha, that in Gemara Avodah Zarah the rabbis have said, kol haosek b'torah bilvad, don't make a mishen lo elka. That anyone who solely studies the Torah is like one who has no God. Meaning that a person who takes the Torah to be just a subject, something to sit back and peruse and enjoy and delve into, but not something to become the blueprint by which all his actions, his life, his thoughts, and his being pass through. Such a person has completely eliminated the ratzon, the very will of God, from the mitzvot themselves. God's will and want to bestow good upon us through our fulfilling that which God has laid out for us to do. It should be noted that the learning of Torah in itself is a mitzvah and of the highest order. Yet the singularly attached to even just one mitzvah, the Chachamim tell us, is a major problem. Even though it's the case that it says that the Talmud Torah, the learning of Torah, meaning that mitzvah of learning, is on par with all of the mitzvot. It's on par because it is the very means by which all can be accomplished. And that if a person was never challenged with the situation, but had spent the time and learnt, that it would be as if he had actually fulfilled even those things which he could not fulfill now. So therefore it has this tremendous power to it, but nevertheless a mitzvah that is within one's hands to do, he's obligated to do. Va mitzvah kala, even the simplest of mitzvot, schara gadol, its reward is tremendous. Vaflea shelo yimad velo yisaper, in a fashion by which it is impossible to measure, impossible to count. So for now, God willing, we're going to wrap things up until next week. Bezat Hashem, it should be with the help of heaven that each and every one of us internalized the importance of the mitzvot and the ramifications of not following after them, and be inspired with the awe of heaven, and in doing such, bring quickly in our days, speedily, Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'maravi Amen.